Thank you all for coming out and welcome to Grace Community Wednesday night service. I see we got some visitors. Dale's mom's back in town visiting with us. That's cool. It's good to see her. My mom's back in here. She hadn't been in, it's been over a month, so I'm glad she's feeling good enough to be here too. So thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. If you're tuning in online, we're glad you're watching. Let me pray for us, and we'll get right into the message for tonight. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to just get up here and share what you put on my heart for this week. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. Let your Holy Spirit say what you want said, Lord. And Father, I just pray for every heart and all the ears that are listening, Lord, that you would just open the ears to be able to hear what it is you're saying, and soften our hearts, Lord, to be able to receive what it is that you're saying to us. So we just turn it over to you, Lord, and we just ask that you would speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week, we talked about construction zones, or going through a hard time in your life, or just making some changes in your life. You know, big changes or little changes, and how our decisions during those times are really important. It's during those times of change that God gives us the opportunity, or gives us the ability, to shape our future. You know, God gives us the ability to shape our future. We all think, or a lot of people think, that our future is already planned out, but God gives us the ability. He gives us the opportunity to shape our own future through the choices that we make. He'll help us make the right choices, but it's up to us to be obedient to the way that God tells us to go. You know, we can make bad decisions during a time of change in our lives, you know, out of frustration, or just because we get tired of waiting and we run out of patience, or we can make bad decisions out of anger just to get even with somebody. Or we can even make bad decisions out of depression because we get to the point where we just don't care anymore. You know, whatever the reason is, if we make bad decisions during a time of change in our lives, that changes the whole direction of our lives. It truly does alter our future. And not only our future, it creates a different future for everybody around us too. A future that God never intended for us to have, and negative consequences for ourselves and those around us that could sometimes last a lifetime. So, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week, you know, reaping what you sow and stuff like that. But that's what God led me to talk some more about tonight, or preach on tonight. So I'll just get right into that. I had a whole different message lined up, but God had different plans. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. That's the verse that he got me started with. You know, it says, "Without a vision, people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." So without a vision, people perish. What that's saying is, if you don't purposely look ahead and see what the decisions that you're making today look like, you know, when they're full grown, you could wind up in, you know, with your life in shipwreck. So we have to weigh our decisions, weigh our choices before we, you know, go through with them. We talked last week, you know, I mentioned reaping and sowing again a minute ago in Galatians chapter 6 in verses 7 through 8. That's where it talks about sowing and reaping. It says, "God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So whatever we sow, good or bad, is going to grow, and we will reap the harvest from it. And I really hope you get this tonight. We have to take the time when we're going through changes, or we're going through a hard time, to actually stop and a lot of times that's hard for us to do. You know, if we're going through a time of change in our life, or if we're going through a difficult time in our life, you know, maybe you've just lost a loved one, or maybe you're switching jobs, or, you know, it could be all kinds of different reasons. But when we're going through times like that, we have to actually stop and take a look and see which direction the choices that we're going to make are going to point us in. We got to make sure we're heading in the right direction. And we need to be in prayer and ask God, which way do you want me to go? You know, if you've got plans for living a better life, or a better life for your children, get a vision of what that looks like and ask God to show you the first step towards that direction, and He will do that. Most of the times, though, we're impatient people. We want to jump from where we are right now into the finished product that we imagine in our minds, and that's just not how it works. What God is telling us is to just go the right direction, and He'll make the changes in us that need to be made along the way during the process. You know, He don't take you from the beginning to the end. He knows you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to change during that time in between. So when we do get to our destination, we'll be able to handle it. You know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, God said He was going to destroy the nations from before them just a little at a time, because He knew if He didn't, they wouldn't be able to handle it. They wouldn't have matured enough to be able to do that. And we're the same way. If God put us where we desire to be, you know, just like that, then we're not going to be able to maintain what He's gave us. So we need to go through a growth process when we're making those choices and making those changes, so we'll be able to maintain it. It is a process. I'll use myself for an example. When I first surrendered my life to Christ 6 years ago, God already had a plan for me, but I wasn't ready for it. You know, God already had a home for me. He had all that stuff. He had a job lined up for me. He had everything that I would need when I got where I am today. But if He would have just gave it to me then, I wasn't ready for it. You know, spiritually, emotionally, anything. I would have lost it. And I'd say within a week, I would have lost everything that He gave me. So I had to go through a maturing process to be able to handle all the things that God has given me. And, you know, I said I surrendered my life to Christ 6 years ago. I believed in Jesus for 20 years, but I didn't follow Him. James says in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" So my belief in Christ was useless. Like I said, I believed in Jesus for like 20 years, but I didn't obey Jesus. He wasn't Lord of my life. I hadn't humbled myself, and I wasn't being obedient. You know, I was just following my own fleshly desires. That's what was in charge. I was in charge, and I was Lord of my life. So that's what was leading me. Christ wasn't leading me, and I had to go through the process of humbling myself and actually being obedient to what He said. And that's how we mature in our faith and get prepared for the things that God has for us. It also says in James, like I said, I was being led by my own desires. In chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, that's what it's talking about. It said, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." So all that stuff that I was reaping and sowing, it goes right back to that. Even though I believed in Jesus, I hadn't surrendered to Him. And I wasn't being led by the Spirit. I was still following my own desires. I was sowing corruption and reaping corruption in every area of my life. And You know, that's not just for new believers. I think there's a lot of people that have been in church so long that they don't think they need instruction anymore. They think they've got it all figured out, and they've drifted and drifted slowly away from God, and they're starting to sow things into their life that, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they wouldn't have done that. But I think we get numb to it, and we get to the point where we're not learning anymore. We're not bringing things to God and asking for direction anymore because we think that we've got it figured out. And when we start sowing those things into our life, then eventually, you know, the harvest comes in, and we have to deal with those choices that we made. So I was, even though I believed in Jesus, I was still being led by my own desires. And I was sowing corruption into my life, into every part of my life. You know, my spiritual life, my emotional life, my physical life, and my mental life. But when I did surrender to Him 6 years ago, the very first thing I had to do was humble myself and learn how to obey Him. Until we humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to Jesus as the authority in our lives, as the Lord of our lives, we won't receive the Holy Spirit and will not be willing to be obedient to God as long as we're in charge, as long as our souls are still in charge. I share this verse with you a bunch. I know I have over the last few weeks and few months, but this is one of the verses that really got my attention and helped me to realize that I wasn't surrendered to Christ. I just believed in Christ. I hadn't surrendered anything to Him. In Luke 6, verse 46, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So once I did truly surrender, God did put His Holy Spirit in me, and He started showing me things. And He'll do that for you too. He does that for anybody. But He'll start showing you things that you just can't see without being surrendered to Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the one that shows us these things. Jesus promises us that. In John 14, verse 26, He says, "The Holy Spirit teaches us these things." Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So even though I was a believer for, you know, over 20 years in Jesus, I hadn't surrendered to Him. So I could read the Bible all day, and it, you know, it didn't lead me anywhere. All it did was I would pick and choose verses here and there to judge other people with, but I never used it to make changes in myself. And that's the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. He shows you the true meaning of Scriptures, and shows you things in your life that you need to work on so you can get the benefits that God has for you. And once I did surrender to Him, He did give me a vision for a new life. You know, one that I never had before. One that I really wanted. You know, I really desired to be a good person. I really wanted to live for God, but I just wasn't ready for it. And I had no idea where to start or what to do. And at this point, the only thing I knew to do was to stop, like I was talking about a minute ago, stop what I was doing and stay stopped until I got some direction and wait for God to show me the next step. You know, like I said a while ago, God will point you in the right direction, and He'll make changes in you along the way so you'll be ready and equipped for your new life when you do get there. God knew there was a whole lot of things in my life that I had to strip off in order to move forward. And to be honest, I knew about them too. I just wasn't willing to admit them. I wasn't willing to let go of those things. Things I had to get out of my life. And that's where the hard choice of being obedient to God or choosing to follow our own desires comes in. We got to be willing to give that up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 through 24, that's what he's talking about. Paul's telling the people in that church, you need to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And that's where I stayed stuck for a long time. God did reveal to me the things in my life I needed to get rid of. I needed to throw it off, like he said there in verse 22. So we have to be obedient and really getting those things out of our lives. You know, I tried hiding stuff. I figured that would work. You know, I could look good in church. But we really have to get those things out of our life and not just hide them. We have to truly get rid of them because we can't hide things from God. You know, I figured that out. Even though I look good on paper, you know, I look good when I was coming to church, but I was still sowing that corruption into my life, you know, when nobody wasn't looking or I thought nobody could see. But I found out that God sees all that stuff. And even if nobody else knows it, if you're still sowing corruption into your life, you're still going to reap the harvest from it. There's a verse, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it says, be sure your sin will find you out. And it did. You know, it caught up with me. Like that verse says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, you know, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You know, we're not fooling God. One of the hardest things to do is to get honest with yourself and really get those things out of your life. Because no matter how hard we try, we can't fool God. So if he tells us we need to work on something, we really do need to work on it. Another thing that was really hard for me that God told me I was going to have to do was end bad relationships. You know, that's very hard to do. When you're trying to live for God and the only friends you have, the only people that you know are still living their ungodly lifestyles, then that's not going to mix. That's a very hard thing to do. So the only way that I figured out to do that was to be bold in my faith. You know, before that, I would try to go hang around those people and keep my faith at the same time. And every time I did that, I wound up falling. I wound up going right back to my old way of life. So when I did surrender to Christ, I figured out the only way to handle relationships like that are toxic for you, is to be bold in your faith. You know, don't just tell people, I don't feel like doing that right now, or just making up some excuse. You have to come out and boldly tell them, I've surrendered my life to Christ, and I don't do those things anymore, because Jesus has took that away from me. You know, he took my... I know it was a miracle when he took my drinking from me. I still, to this day, don't desire it anymore. He changed my heart. He changed my desires. So I don't tell people I don't feel like doing it right now. I tell them the truth, that Jesus Christ took that away from me, and I've surrendered my life to him. I don't do those things anymore. And then God will give you the strength to stand in your faith when you boldly proclaim it like that. Through the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the strength to stand in your faith. And then people will know where you stand, you know, and then they'll quit inviting you to do things that you told them you're not going to be a part of anymore. Eventually, they'll quit inviting you to come and do the things that you don't need to do with them. And then they have a choice. You know, they can follow Christ too, or they can keep going the direction that they're going. And I honestly believe that there are millions of people in the earth who won't follow Jesus or don't follow Jesus because somebody won't come with them. You know, I was one of those people for a long time. You know, I wasn't willing to give up the things in my life, give up the relationships in my life, because I wasn't willing to lose that friendship or to lose that person. that was one of the biggest reasons I didn't surrender to Christ, you know, for as long as I didn't. But you've got to get to the point where you make the choice to follow Jesus, no matter who comes with you. And then you can be the example that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and hopefully one day lead them to Christ. But we can't let our relationship with somebody in our life who don't want to follow Jesus keep us from the eternal life that God gives us through Jesus. You know, we have to give our life to Jesus and trust that he will work on them. And all we can do is be the example that God calls us to be. And we say all the time that change has to be intentional. You know, change for the good don't happen naturally. Decay happens naturally. If all you do is wait for things to get better, and I've done that too, they just continue to get worse. I think Josh said something Sunday about anytime you're coasting, you have to be going downhill. And you'll just keep drifting further away from God and further in the wrong direction. Good change, things to benefit your life, things to make your life better, it has to be intentional. And the only way we can know that we're going in the right direction is through obedience. If we know we're being obedient to God, if we're doing what God's word says, then we don't have to worry about, am I going the right direction? We know we're going the right direction because God's word pointed us in that direction. You'll never go the wrong way being obedient to God. You know, it's not always the easy way. As a matter of fact, to begin with, it seems like the hardest way possible. And like I said a while ago, that's not just for new believers, but if you've been following God for a long time, maybe you have got comfortable and you think you're doing fine, that you're in control now. And maybe you have stopped being obedient and just started back doing what you think is right. It's good for us to stop and take a daily inventory of ourselves, or sometimes even more than a daily inventory. We were talking about that last night, about every 6 months to a year, it's good to stop and just make sure you're going in the right direction. But being obedient goes against our, you know, our natural nature. You know, things like pray for your enemies, or be nice to people who are mean to you, or pray for those who persecute you. Those things don't seem to make any sense to us in the natural, but that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 44, it's got all three of those in that one verse. Jesus says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, those things don't come naturally to us. We have to be intentional to do those things, to be obedient to what he's telling us to do. That's just a good example of many things that he tells us to do. But if you are new to the faith, the Sermon on the Mount is just full of stuff that you can learn from. That's a good place to start. And that's in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Another thing that I had a major problem with was that didn't come natural to me, and it don't come natural to anybody else either, is forgiveness. To me, that was just as hard to do as ending an unhealthy relationship or a toxic relationship. You know, we don't naturally forgive people. We naturally justify our anger towards that person and feel like we have the right to judge them, the right to be angry at them and condemn them. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, you have to give that up. You got to let that go, or you'll be dead in your tracks again. Or if you go a little further with it, you'll start going backwards at 100 miles an hour. You know, if you don't learn how to forgive, let God show you how to forgive, you won't go forward anymore. You'll be stuck right there until you get to that point. Because you can't be led by the Holy Spirit when you're full of anger and bitterness and judgment. You can't mix those two. You're going to be led by one or the other. Now, I know the hurt is real when somebody does something wrong to you or hurt you, and God don't want you to forget about it, and he don't want you to excuse it. He's not asking you to do that, and that's something I had to learn. He wants you to bring it to him and to honor him as your Lord and as your Father, and trust him that he is a good Father and that he will take care of it for you. He don't want you to let it slide. He's not saying that was okay what they did to you, but he's saying let him handle it. That's his job, to make things right, and he promises that he will. In Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." And he's talking about God's wrath, not our wrath. "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore," and then this is our part in that. God says, "If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Anytime we try to take things into our own hands, you know, that's what happens to us. Just like he warned Cain, you know, if you don't control your anger, control that sin that's lying at the door, then it's going to overcome you. And that's what happens to us when we try to get even ourselves. We have to trust God enough to take those things to him and just believe that he is going to do what he said he would do, and he will take care of it. You know, we can't make things right. Only God can do that. You know, we're not the judge, and we don't have the power or the authority to judge other people. The only person I can change, the only person I have power over, is myself. And I can't even change myself without the help of the Holy Spirit. So either way, we need him to make changes in ourselves, and we have to trust him to deal with the way other people are treating us. You know, I said a minute ago, if we try to make people pay ourselves, we're only hurting ourselves. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." So when we're unforgiving and judgmental, we're just hurting ourselves. And we're making bad choices. And we're sowing bad seeds that will grow and bring in a harvest of bad consequences. You know, I told you a while ago that I was using myself as an example because I had to deal with all these things. You know, I had to deal with the toxic relationships and the unforgiveness and the anger, and I had to deal with all that stuff. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. I'm talking about these are things that I had to deal with, and I couldn't move forward until I did. And I told you God gave me a vision of the life that he had for me, and I really, really wanted that life. And I was working hard to get the things out that he told me I needed to get out. While I was doing that, God was busy putting the things in that needed to come in. So while I was learning how to surrender unforgiveness and trust God to take care of those things, God was putting things in me. He was putting in love, you know, while I was dealing with the unforgiveness and while I was dealing with anger. You know, God was installing self-control in me. So you see, the life that God showed me included all these things that I was going to need to maintain that I didn't have, and nobody has without the Holy Spirit. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we talk about these quite a bit too, because these are the things that we need to make good choices, to make changes in our lives. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In the NLT, it says self-control instead of temperance. So we've got to have self-control. We've got to have all those things. God wants us to have the life that he has for every one of us, but we have to be willing to get rid of the old one. And we have to be willing to let God equip us with the fruit of the Spirit that we need to live the new one. You know, like I said, when we start cleaning out the old stuff, God's right there with us bringing in the new stuff. So when I get rid of anger, you know, he'll replace that with patience or love or whatever it is that I need. So a few weeks ago, we talked about trading our incorruptible things for corruptible things. And this is exactly like that, but in reverse. When we take all our corruptible things to God, he trades us, he takes those from us and replaces them with incorruptible things. And that's a pretty good deal, I think. And I know that's a pretty good deal. And nobody's life is too nasty that the blood of Jesus Christ can't polish it up and clean it up. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think they're unworthy of coming to church, or somebody's told them, you need to straighten up before you go to church. You cannot straighten up without surrendering your life to Christ. It's his job to clean us up. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we don't clean ourselves up. Jesus cleans us up. And if we say that we have no sin, you know, like I've been talking about, if we have been in church for a long time and we think we've got to that point where we don't need instruction anymore, or we don't have to take inventory anymore, it says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But this is the famous verse you hear quoted all the time, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's the maintenance part of this. Once you do surrender to Christ and start living for Christ, that should be a daily thing. That should be a daily part of our prayer lives, is confess our sins. We all sin every day. We may not mean to, but we all get angry, we all have emotions, we all say and do things that we wish we could take back. You can't take it back, but you can be forgiven for it, and you can be cleansed from it. All we have to do is take it to God and confess it, and let God forgive us and cleanse us. We don't have to walk around feeling guilty about it. Just give it to God, get it off our chest, and believe that he has forgave me, and he has cleansed me, and just move on. You know, if you come to God humbly and sincerely, he don't care what you bring him. He will forgive you and he will cleanse you. I love this proverb in Proverbs 23:23. When I first read that, I didn't really understand what it meant, because I read it for years before I surrendered to Christ. But once I did surrender to Christ, then the Holy Spirit showed me what that verse means. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, I would sit there and be like, man, how do you buy the truth and sell it not? And God showed me that Jesus Christ is the truth. He himself said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth, and we buy it when we surrender our lives to him and start walking in the light, like we just read in 1 John 1:7. And we get that wisdom and instruction and understanding that it's talking about there in that verse through the Holy Spirit to make the good choices that we've been talking about and sow good things, sow the good seeds into our future that we need, into our children's future, into every part of our lives. But the only way we can sow good seeds is in obedience. You'll never sow good seeds being disobedient to God. You just can't do that. And you'll never go the right direction being disobedient to God. We'll always go the wrong way. Like God's word says too, we all like sheep have gone astray. And if we're living in disobedience and not doing what God says, we'll never go the right direction. So we started out talking about making good decisions when our lives are going through a change so that we can have the future that we're hoping for. And I also said, I really hope that you get this tonight, that when we're at a point of change in our lives and we're faced with the, you know, pretty important choices, we need to stop and we need to take a good look and say, which direction am I heading? And do it, you know, do I need to turn around and ask ourselves, what am I sowing? We said that last week. You know, what's this going to look like next week if I do this? We need to think about our choices. What's it going to look like next month or even a year from now if I continue going in this direction that I'm heading right now? And if you haven't surrendered your life, I mean truly surrendered your whole life to Christ and given him the authority in your life, that has to be the first step. And if you haven't done that, you're just flying blind. Jesus says, blind leading the blind, they'll both fall into a ditch. And that's where a lot of us are before we come to Christ or if we're slipping away. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when we start trusting our own understanding and letting our desires lead us and guide us, if we're not going the way God wants us to go, it does end in death. So we have to have the Holy Spirit guiding us. And we quote these verses in here all the time too, because I think this has to be a daily thing. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We can't trust our own understanding. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. But in all our ways, we have to acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. I keep bringing up, you know, if you have been in church for quite a while or something, we get to the point where we're like, I've been there, done this 1,000 times. I got this. I've got this. God's word says we need to acknowledge him in all our ways. So if we do start getting comfortable in it and start slipping a little bit, the Holy Spirit will, he will show that to us. But if we're not acknowledging God in everything, then we'll get off the path and won't even know it until it's too late, until we've already built up some consequences that we're going to have to deal with. So we have to acknowledge God in all of our ways and let him direct our paths. We can't trust our own wisdom or our own understanding. God's word says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, if you want to know where that's at. There it is. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when we start being led by our old sin nature again, you know, we deceive ourselves and we can be going the wrong direction and not even know it. But if we acknowledge God in all the things that we do, God will bring it to your attention when you get off the path. So we need God's guidance and we need God's wisdom and we need the Holy Spirit so we can plant the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and bring in that good harvest from being obedient to God. And, you know, if we sow those things in our lives, then other people will sow those things back into our lives. God's word promises that. If we sow kindness, we'll get back kindness. If we sow love, we will get love back. If we sow peace, that'll bring more peace. If we show faithfulness, if we're faithful in our relationships, if we're faithful to other people, then they'll be faithful to us. You know, we had a guy in a small group last night. We hadn't seen him in a long time, and I was really glad to see him. And even without, like I said, it's probably been, I'd say, 9 months since I saw him. And he was doing every bit of this stuff that I talked about tonight. He was telling us that every relationship that he had with his children, people at work, and all of them were just falling apart. So he said he just stopped. And he said he just went home and stopped one day and took a good look at his life. And he was looking at what he was allowing into his life. And he was watching a lot of stuff on TV that he shouldn't watch and things like that. He said he quit letting those things in. He quit watching TV. He quit listening to the coarse jokes. He quit doing all that stuff. And he got back in God's Word. And he said in just 2 weeks, that's not very long at all. He said every one of his relationships were mended that quick because he stopped long enough to see what he was bringing in. And what he was bringing in was coming out. So we have to watch what we allow into our hearts and into our minds. You know, Proverbs says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So we gotta watch what's coming in. And that was just really encouraging to hear him tell his story about in 2 weeks his whole life changed because he changed what he was allowing in. And, you know, I remember, like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation with another guy, and he was talking about his kids was struggling in school with their grades. And instead of being negative and getting on them saying, you need to knuckle down and do better, or, you know, instead of dealing with it in anger or judgment or anything like that, he sat down with them and helped them with their homework, explained to them how to do their homework. So now his kid's not struggling with the homework anymore. And he was telling me how that grew the intimacy between him and his child just by sitting down and helping him instead of getting on him for not doing good enough. It's all in the choices we make and how we handle these things. If we're being led by the Spirit, we'll meet things like that with love and patience and self-control, and things will get better. Things will never get better if we always meet them with judgment and anger and bitterness. And there's another guy that I know, and he's helping his grandkids through a lot of their problems. And in doing that, he was telling me how his relationship with God is getting better. He's growing closer to God because he's relying on God for his wisdom and his guidance because he needs it. So not only is he helping those children, it's helping him. It's helping him by relying on God. He's learning more about God, watching him work through him to help other people. And so God does give us direction, and he does help us. We just have to give up the control and bring it to him and ask him for help. God is always willing to help us. In Psalm 46, in verse 1, that's exactly what it says. It says, God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. So if you are at a time of change in your life, and I know many of us are, you know, I know a lot of your stories, and I know I'm going through some changes in my life too. We have to stop and check out our trajectory. I know a lot of y'all know what trajectory is. Most of the time it's related to, you know, like shooting a bow and arrow. You know, which way is my arrow pointing? Once you let go of that arrow, it's too late to change your mind. You know, that arrow's going whichever way you shoot it. And if it's not going the way it needs to go, before you let it go, you know, change the direction. Start at the beginning and humble yourself before God. You may have been, like I said, following God for years. That don't matter. If you have taken back control of your life and let things back into your life that don't belong there, just come to God humbly and acknowledge Him as Lord and trust Him as a good Father, and He will forgive you and He will show you the next step in the right direction. But the first thing for any of us to go in the right direction is be willing to admit that you're going in the wrong direction. You know, that was one of the biggest things for me, was humbling myself and actually admitting that I know I'm going the wrong way. I know I'm being disobedient. I hear people tell me all the time, I've been praying about this and praying about this and praying about this. You know, I ask them, well, are you doing what God's telling you to do? Are you making the changes that God's asking you to make? No, there's no need to change this. I don't need to change that. I just want God to help me do this. God's never going to help us be disobedient. You know, God will help us. We just read that right there. He's a very present help in trouble. But we have to do it God's way. We have to be obedient to God. And we have to sow the seeds that He's telling us to sow, which are the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we can't sow our own desires and expect God to give us the answers that we're looking for. God has a good future for us. He has a good future for all of us. But we've got to make the changes in ourselves and be obedient to what God tells us to do and sow the seeds that He's telling us to sow. Some of those are hard. We read them a while ago in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, to love our enemies and pray for our enemies and be nice to people that are mean to us. Those things are not easy to do. We have to get to the point where we can forgive people. That's not easy to do either. And we've got to get to the point where, you know, we don't hang out with the people we shouldn't hang out with. Not that we can't look at them in judgment, but if they're not going to follow Christ, we can't go away from Christ just because they're not going to follow with us. We have to make Him Lord and be obedient to Him, and then we can start making the choices we need to make. Then we can start sowing the things we need to sow. And, you know, it won't be long. You will see the harvest from it. I can see it in my life every day. I've got very few things left of the bad seeds that I sowed that I have to deal with. You know, most of the things now, I do pay attention when I'm making choices, and I make sure I look ahead and see what it's going to look like later, because I've had enough of bad consequences. I'm ready for some good harvest, and I'm seeing it, and I thank God for it. But it's not just for me, that's for anybody. So if you are going through some changes in your life or going through a hard time, just sit down and look at which way you're going. If you're not going in the right direction, take it to God, and He will. Like I said, He won't take you all the way to the end where you desire to be, but He will show you the first step, and He'll clear a path for you as you go. But I hope that really helps somebody, and I hope you'll, if you're watching online or if you're going through something here, I hope that you'll receive that. I pray that you'll soften your heart and be honest with yourself and be honest with God, so you can see the change that He'll make in your life. But that's all I've got for tonight. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I thank You for helping me get up here and preach this. Lord, I look back at all the changes You've made in my life and how far that You brought me, Lord, and I'm so thankful to You for that. And Lord, that's what I pray for every person that hears this, that they would find the courage to trust You enough to surrender their life to You, Lord, and start being obedient to You so that they can have the life that You have for them too. And Lord, I just pray that You would just speak to every heart that hears this, Lord, and give them the courage to just cry out to You if they need help. And I know You'll help them. And we just thank You for that. Lord, we love You, and we thank You, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.